The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, PeteEvans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Sasha Stone is a public speaker, publisher, writer, and filmmaker who is here to dynamically assist the emergence of all free and sovereign people of the world from a legacy of bonded slavery. To find out more about Sasha Stone, please visit his website, sashastone.com. That's SASHASTONE.com. Sasha, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you, brother?
Good to be here. Beautiful. We had 2 hours difference between Bali and where you are, so perfect timing.
It is perfect timing, and that's what I love about life. It's all about synchronistic timing, and when the student is ready, the teacher arrives. And I have been told many, many, many times over the last few months that I needed to speak with you, from people from all over the world. They're like, you need to speak to Sasha. You need to speak to... And I just want to say, is it Sasha or Sasha?
It's whatever it is. Either works.
I'm like, okay. So not only one person has told me, but it was like, it must have been five or six people in the space of 7 days that said, we need to connect. And usually when that happens, I'm like, okay, well, the universe is guiding me towards something here. And for me, I am a student of life and a sponge. So I have read and listened to a lot of your work, and it is possibly a lot for somebody that isn't familiar with this type of approach to life to take in. So what I would love for you to explain to us today in this conversation is sort of a basics or a 101, a Sasha Stone for the uninitiated, and where you would like to take us on the journey. I'm going to hand it over to you, brother.
Well, thank you for the question. I like that. It's very quantum and open. I think for me, it comes down to one word, which is sovereignty, in the truest sense of the word sovereignty. That's my interest. That's my path. That's my inquiry in life. It's my religion. And it's my living philosophy. So it's all connected to that, to, for me, a soulful recognition to the foundational idea or fact that each of us are born to this world through a soul covenant. And we enter this temporal veil, this 3D world, for a period of time allotted to us by that soul covenant. And then we depart from this world and rejoin our greater galactic community, or reconvention with source consciousness, with God, with the heavenly celestial realms, however we want to look at it. But the point is that the time being the imperative here, that we spend in this 3D world is clearly very, very significant. And what we're meant to be doing in this space-time vector or coordinate or continuum is very special work. The alchemy of the soul surely that's the only rationale for why we suffer so very much in this world. Suffrage is everywhere, as the great fat man under the Bodhi tree, Gautama Buddha, reminded us, whether he was mythological or not, as immaterial. All in this temporal veil is suffrage and sufferance and sorrow. But there is a way beyond that. And I think there's a tremendous amount of truth there. So for me, defining the pure rationale, pure logic of why we choose, you and I, and billions of other souls, to convene in this 3D temporal world with such tremendous war and disease and poverty and suffrage all around us, there has to be an incredibly powerful reason. So my inquiry has been since a very young age, because I grew up in a war in Africa and I was blessed to have bullets flying at us and understanding real cultural trauma and social trauma from a young age. That was a blessing in a sense. And it certainly invited me to step up later in life and drop my balls, so to speak, and be able to take a little courage in pursuing these questions, the inquiry, who are we, why are we here, where are we heading? The same old three questions that have plagued humanity since we could first think and self-reflect. But that's the point for me. It's all about sovereignty. It's all about defining that purpose and clarifying that inner lens, and then being able to work out how one can move into alignment or attunement with the Creator, with the divine flame, with our soul compact, and begin to anchor patterns of perfection into an imperfect world. That is the point of sovereignty, is to step away from the herd, step away from the fiction of government, of culture, of family, of community. They're all beautiful things variously and horrendous things variously. If you talk about family and community and society and the nation state and how we allow ourselves to become collectivized and put into groups. So Sasha Stone is the white Zimbabwean expatriate living now in Indonesia. No, he's not. He's an individuated soul who chose to migrate to this bizarre plane of existence through millions of years of my own incarnation and evolutionary experience in order to participate in an extraordinary theater in this world. And I've now defined in my middle years that the purpose of that is to completely own my divinity, my flame of creatorhood in this realm, and to go forth and make things manifest. So that brings with it a tremendous amount of irreverence. I think in order to become individuated from the herd and step away from it and then move into your creator, your creative imperative, I think you have to learn a tremendous amount of irreverence. And the irreverence is necessary because it gives us permission to step away from false adherence to false light, which is what most people are trapped in most of the time.
Oh, fuck. Here we go. I want to take a step back because you said 3D. And for anybody that has never heard or understood that concept, can you explain that? Because on social media these days, we see a lot of people talking about 3D and 4D and 5D. And even yesterday, I listened to somebody talk about 6D and 7D. So can you just explain what that is in the most simplistic terms for somebody to understand, please?
Sure. But let me first start by saying that Pete began this interview by telling me that I couldn't use foul language. And I just... Okay, so that's on you. Look, honestly, the 3D, 4D, 5D, 6D is a nonsense ultimately. And frankly, we need to step away from it. What I meant by saying 3D, I'm playing into the myth of what we commonly accept of this world, the 3D temporal realm. The fact of the matter, as you well know, is that we're living in a multidimensional continuum. And that around me are the ghosts and the ancestral spirits and the future intelligences all peering variously into the now. That's what orbs are. You know, so we've got this confluence of hyperdimensional intelligences and ancient spirits and ghosts and souled and unensouled intelligences variously confluencing all around us all the time. And our way of trying to explain that mystery to ourselves is to break it into 1D, 2D, 3D, 4D. So you talk in terms of the first dimension being it's the singularity, the zero point, the magneto point, and then everything issuing from that 2D takes us further and further into the expression, the multifarious expression of creation. And that's a beautiful thing. But then we move into higher realms where we are disembodied, move now into different waveforms and different frequency forms. So 3D to me simply describes the material realm, which is the dividing line between the heavens and the hells, in that sense, between this and that, which is what's so remarkable about this world and this plane of existence and this galaxy. It is the playground, the cauldron of creation within which soul and the fabric of soul emerges. And each of us are divinely elected to act as progenitors of the evolution of soul. So we come in to this blindfolded. The ancient Greeks spoke about the cup of Lethe, the cup of forgetfulness, that we drink of the cup of forgetfulness and then fall into this realm, forgetting our source, forgetting where we come from, all of which is true. And we awaken in this world and we're cast adrift and we have to learn a whole new vernacular, a whole new expression, until suffrage and the stimulus of the material world eventually reconfigures and recatalyzes and re-sparks our remembrance of who we truly are. And that's where the spiritual language starts to emerge. And then we variously engage art and we start to identify with poetry and with music and with the arts. That's why the arts are so important. It's also why the arts are so under threat by this technocratic, homogenized monoculture that we're living through right now with this COVID pantomime. The one thing that is threatened the most is art and poetry, the stuff that doesn't define itself. It's part of the fuzzy logic of being. And so this to me is the importance of where we find ourselves in the 3D realm. We are absolutely on the line, the indivisible line between heaven and hell in that sense. And that is the perfect cauldron, the perfect quanta within which we can ourselves become fully aligned with our divinity and then become part of the expression of creation, affirmation and creativity being the key words here.
Thank you so much for explaining that. I love it. You mentioned before your purpose or your soul's purpose, and I have been personally challenged by this over the last few decades. What does it mean? Do we actually have a purpose? Are we here to just express ourselves creatively through our passions and our joys? Are we here for a deeper purpose that even transcends that, even though that is a huge part of what I would call be staying in balance to express our passions, our joys, our loves, our interests, our curiosities? But underneath that, I mean, take this for example, you and I having this chat is because there was an intuition by others to connect us together. And me reading those words from other people and letting that resonate inside of me and then having a look to see who this man is, I'm like, yep, okay. I can feel I'm guided to reach out and connect with you. And I still don't even know why, but there's an underlying thread, I would say, that I am grasping or pulling or continuing on this journey intuitively, but also surrendering into it as well, to know that this is part of my, and I don't want to say preordained destiny, but it's part of my path. And I still have free will. I could have said, you know what? No, I don't want to talk to Sasha. You know, that's not part of my journey. But intuitively, I'm like, this is my journey, whether I like it or not. Now it's a choice. So talk to me a little bit more about this purpose and what you have come to realize, and have you been challenged by it over the years?
It's a very nebulous question. I thank you for that, because I need to be challenged from time to time. What you're describing to me is attunement. You're describing to me frequency attunement. And I like that because that's ultimately what it all comes down to. And what I'd like to do is just diversify a little bit into where we're at right now as a species, as a civilization on this planet. 5, 6, 7 billion souls, however many there are. Don't believe the official figures. They're always bullshit. But the fact of the matter is we've got billions of souls on the surface of this earth, variously in different degrees of attunement, one to another. The fact of the matter is that we all issue from the same primary source. That's something that's enshrined and encoded, I think, in foundationally in our RNA and DNA expression. We know ourselves to be familial creatures. We know we all issue from the alpha point. And here we are in this tremendous technicolored field of expression, variously trying to identify or re-identify with the higher aspects of self. We find ourselves through this frequency attunement. That's what I'm loving about relationship. And you talk about how we variously find ourselves through this veil of tears. It's all connected to that quantum attunement. How does telepathy work? This amazing fourth dimensional telephone that we are all born with in our DNA. We know we have these flashes of one another, and just as the phone's about to ring and it's your grandmother on the other side of the world. I mean, how does that work? It's because of that complete principle of prior unity that exists across the entire human family. And what we could say is that every single word uttered, every poem or song ever spoken or sung, every art piece ever created, every vision ever engendered and manifested was all about moving beyond the trial of separation. It was all a cry in the dark, in the wilderness, from each creator, artist, poet, progenitor, about the desire to reconvene with one another. Because it's only when we do reconvene with the entire human family that we know ourselves to have arrived fully on dry shore. That's the purpose of this veil of tears. That's the purpose of this insane dystopia that we all find ourselves born into, this realm of binary logic, of dualistic principles, of the Hegelian dialectic, of this and that and black and white and sun and moon and Republican and Democrat and up and down. Everything has a polarity to it. It's enshrined and encoded in this insane language of this world. Well, I can tell you, it's only in this world. When you move beyond this realm, this world, and I have some experience and some remembrance of other vectors, we don't have that, the same bizarre, aberrant, polarized reality. Everything moves into the omega point, which is where everything is confluenced. The geometry of creation is all synergized. But it's just about this world. And you're in Australia, I'm in, I mean, we're all of us, we're finding our way home through attunement to one another. I think it's a beautiful thing. Remembering always that the single most important value of being in this world is relationship. Everything else is moot. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Relationship is everything. Attunement, frequency attunement, all to soul is everything.
Mm. Talk to me about relationship to self then, because is that the first step for understanding and navigating this, as you said, this very polarizing, very strange situation that we're in at the moment, which is, I could have even dreamt up this, and maybe I did, because maybe this is all just my manifestation, but that's for another podcast possibly. But how do you cultivate relationship to self personally, and what are the steps for that?
Good. Curiously enough, you say, is that the first step toward, and ironically, I would suggest that yet it should be the first step toward anything, relationship to self. But curiously, what I observe in this world is that it's invariably the very last step that one finally arrives at the mirror pool of self-reflection through all these trials and tribulations and the hurt and the injury we do to ourselves every time we hurt, whether we stub a toe or we have a heart ripped out of our ribcage and shredded by the other. Whatever the story we tell ourselves, it's all our architecture. We are the progenitors and the architects and the engineers and the conjurers and the orchestrators of everything that befalls us. And woe betide anyone who fails to understand that universal truth. You will hurt. The more you paint yourself as a victim in this world, the more you will hurt. The day you come to that realization and that deep, visceral recognition that I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the son and the daughter of God. I am the creator incarnate in that sense. And everything that is on the radar screen of my life is divinely appointed by me. I am the one who is permissioning every aspect of the geometry of my reality, the hologram of my life. When you own that space in one perfect moment, you see yourself for the first time. And in seeing yourself for the first time is to own the Alpha and the Omega. And to do that is to begin to breathe what the Sufis would call the breath of Allah, the compassionate. I mean, don't take that into a religious spin, but it's a beautiful thing. It's where the macro and the micro and the inverse and the obverse and all become perfectly harmonized. That's Alpha Omega. And that's ultimately what each of us are seeking in the expression of our lives. We're all of us simply wanting to get to dry shore and to breathe and to be in a state of equanimity and a state of grace. It's all we seek within ourselves. Whether you are a generational Illuminati, quasi-reptile tycoon, bred to be a sociopath and maraud humanity. Even if you're that creature driving around Manhattan in a limousine behind smoky glass windows, there's still a flickering, there's still a pulse there in the hybrid that you are as a human being. Or if you're some Papua New Guinean creature with a bone through the nose living deep, deep in the jungles, you know, and it doesn't matter. We all carry that same quanta, each of us.
Oh, I'd love it. So tell me about then, you mentioned being a victim before. So when we have complete accountability and responsibility over our own actions, what does that mean? And why do you think there is such a barrier in individuals to accept that they have complete responsibility and accountability over their own lives?
That's a real tough one for me to answer. I don't know. I can't really answer to it. The abnegation of self, the surrender of one's own true consciousness and conscience, which is to say sovereignty, is the great dilemma. It's the great dilemma of billions, hundreds of millions of souls. Because it's only, as we discussed earlier, it's only when one owns one's sovereignty in that sense and actuates or actualizes consciousness, which is to say, puts consciousness into action. Mm. Because we're all conscious. I mean, a radish has consciousness to it. You can prove that through Kirlian photography. You can chop a plant up in a laboratory and photograph it with electrography, and you can see that the plant hurts, and the person who chopped the plant in comes in a week later and the plant goes into a state of trauma. So we can see that consciousness exists in everything, in creation, variously. But how we take that consciousness in action is the key thing there. And I think that's what we mean by will, by we have free will. Free will is the capacity to engage consciousness in action. And to do something in action is to become the manifestor or the creator. And the more that one can do that in alignment with the divine impulse, with the divine nature, which is to say in alignment with natural law, natural order, the perfect geometry of life that itself exists all around us, A, it feels good. Moving into that space of alignment with natural law, there's no resistance. And so your action or your word or your deed becomes thing which moves in a fluid way with a beautiful outcome. The path of least resistance to the highest outcome occurs when one is in that state of grace, that state of alignment. And that's simple. You could be a blind beggar on the streets of Johannesburg and you can still be in that state of grace. Gender is not important, and whether you're high-born or low-born is not important. It's all about ultimately attunement again and alignment. I'm not sure if I came even close to answering your question, but I will say that the key piece for me is the consciousness in action, and it's choice, and each one of us can choose to move into that. What do we see when we look out here? And I'm looking to a beautiful beach over there, and I can see people variously walking along the promenade. Not many because of all of this isolation that's going on. But I would say 2 out of 3 people are wearing masks still. And this is local Indonesian people and a few foreigners, and still choosing to wear masks in the middle of the afternoon of the most perfect day you can imagine in the Southeast Asian islands, and walking by the ionized ocean air, surrounded by the fractality of nature, and still choosing to mask themselves against reason, against reality, against oxygen, against life, against the sun. This is an insanity by distinction. So what you can say is that these people are unconscious. They are the unensouled, somewhat, and dead. And I would say that, I will argue that with somebody who was choosing to wear a mask. And I, this morning, we saw when we went for breakfast, a young baby in a pram wearing a mask on its face. I mean, this is an outrage. This is child abuse of the highest order of magnitude, if you ask me. But we're seeing this in stark technicolor, the living from the dead, the organic from the fictitious. It's all around us right now, courtesy of this ritual humiliation exercise called the COVID theatrical production, brought to you by your friendly local fiction, meaning to say your local government and public health administration, who are in criminal collusion with a health ministry, which is in criminal collusion with a corporation government, in your case, Australia, which is one of the very worst and one of the most criminal and egregious on the face of the earth. And that government is by treaty in criminal collusion with the multilateral sector, which is to say the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the United Nations, the World Health Organization, and so on. And those criminal treaties are connected to the Crown of England, essentially in terms of ownership and containment and registrations and patents and copyrights. And then from there, they're owned and contained by the Vatican complex, which itself is owned and contained by the Black Papacy, or the Jesuitical tradition, the Sabbatean element of the Roman Catholic Church, which goes back thousands of years and is a historical criminal cartel connected to the most egregious occultic black magic you could possibly imagine. But that I've just described in less than 3 minutes, the pathology of insanity that leads to people wearing masks walking along the front of an ocean in Southeast Asia. No logic there, no rationale. You're talking about people having departed from sanity, people having surrendered consciousness, conscience, and sovereignty. And that's happening all around the world like a dominoes. It's been invited to happen, and it's working like a charm. And that's part of the occultic mysterium logic that is being perpetrated against humanity right now by invisible masters. But I will caveat by saying that masters are no longer that invisible. We more or less can identify this echelon now, which is a tremendous blessing.
Wow. Where do we go from here? The word that you used quite often in the last part was consciousness. Now, over the last few decades, I have experienced with what some would call expanding consciousness, whether it be through breath work, whether it be through fasting, whether it be through toad medicine, plant medicines, whatever it may be, the idea that we can expand our consciousness, what does that mean to you? Because isn't consciousness eternal or infinite? So how do we expand it?
It's the lens. I think it's the lens through which we move into coherence with the supernatural, the supernature. The supernature aspect of you and I is limitless, ineffable consciousness, limitless, ineffable energy and capacitance and intelligence. The more we move into phase coherence or phase conjugation with the divine flame within, we are increasingly able to act as capacitors of that divine prana or life force, that flow of chi, of prana, of life force. And the more one does it, the more one can do it. It is limitless, which is what we mean by ineffable. It moves off the scale altogether. Our capacity for divinity and our capacity for creativity, our capacity for affirmation, our capacity for ecstasy is limitless. That is the great secret. And that is what the Babylonian mastery have attempted to thwart over millennia. And they've very much succeeded over millennia. Their ultimate objective is to completely subvert the human orgasm entirely and to prevent the orgasmic experience or for any of us achieving the bliss peak wave, as my friend, the physicist Dan Winter, refers to it as. You talk about orgasm and bliss and the bliss peak wave. That is our highest objective in this world, is to move into a state of perpetual orgasm. Orgasm, don't forget, not being a sexual thing in this sense, but being a psycho, a spiritual orgasmic experience. It's orgasm and that moment of perfect bliss that we seek, ultimately, each of us. It's the thing that drives humanity. It's why we have hormones and glands and secretions and adrenaline. It's all ultimately about seeking that bliss and seeking that orgasmic experience, which is why we are, in the Atlantean sense of our civilization, we are trapped in alcoholism and in sex addiction and in false adherence to false light, addiction to religious idolatry across the board. But all of that simply speaks to the desperate need for each of us to reconvene with the orgasmic experience of our conjugation with the divine, with the flame of divinity that is always within us, because that's the thing that gives animus to our very pulse. But we variously are in a state of disrepair and out of phase coherence with ourself, to come back to your earlier suggestion that it's all ultimately about the search for relationship with self, which of course is entirely correct. That is what reconvention with self is. It's the true orgasmic experience. Mm. It's remembrance of our divinity and our majesty, our ineffability.
My family and I have been using beautiful, high-quality essential oils for the last 20 years to live healthily every single day. Now, if you're passionate about health and are ready to step into leadership, I want to invite you to partner with my team and I to build a beautifully successful doTERRA business. Register at PeteHLC.com/Pete. That's PeteHLC, which stands for the Healthy Living Collective, .com/Pete.
I love it. I've been told that some of the philosophies that I've heard is that everything is in perfect balance and harmony. So when you talk about the suppression or the goal to brainwash us, and you didn't use the word brainwash, but what's happening at the moment when you're talking about people wearing a mask walking along the beach is insane. Is, in your opinion, things in harmony and balance currently with what is happening in the world? Are more and more people expanding their consciousness, waking up at the same time that this is happening? Or is that a fairy tale?
I think it's a very appropriate question. It's both, it's neither, all at the same time. We are trying desperately to awaken as a civilization. So we're moving into a collective self-imposed exile from false reality, because we are recognizing at the subliminal level that the reality that we have architected for ourselves over millennia is a false light, Luciferic, Atlantean reality hologram, and that it is not going to serve the next stage of our evolution. So one ought to look at this apocalyptic manifestation as a very positive thing, because it's a way of us doing a collective unconscious detox of all that doesn't serve us. And that's all that's playing out in the hologram right now. So we mustn't identify with it and believe it to be true. Oh my God, we've gone mad as a civilization. And are we ever going to recover from this? Yes, we are going to recover. We're going to recover exponentially quickly. The madness will leave as quickly as it descended. And when it leaves, we will have purged ourselves from, when we talk in terms of the deep state, that's the geopolitical, in a sense, and socioeconomic complex. Yes, we're going to be purging ourselves of the deep state in that sense, from these highly egregious generational evil that has infiltrated our civilization at every level. And that's taken a few thousand years. I think one could go back to pre-Phoenician times, Sumerian times, and say that it's a 4,500-5,000-year-old pathology of evil that we are trying to detox civilizationally. And it's happening. And the fact of the matter is that there is so much beauty and so much capacitance and so much creativity and so much love and so much beautiful expression in the human family today. That's the diamond in the coal. That's the stuff that is truly now being birthed to the surface, no longer to be sequestered. And the stealth elements, the invisible mastery, the Jesuitical elements, the ritual sacrifice of innocence, the pedophile rings, the rat lines, the dirty, dirty actors and bad elements of our social complex and cultural complex and civilizational complex, all of that stuff is being forced through this vibratory upgrade that's happening at the galactic level, the movement of our solar system right now. If one understands where we're positioned and how we are repositioning in the galaxy, in the Milky Way, it makes absolute sense. You begin to see this is a very necessary and needful collective detoxification exercise. It's going to be a tailspin for 3 years or 7 years. It's going to be somewhere within that time frame. And I'll also add by saying that when we move through, fully through this tunnel, we will have threaded the proverbial camel through the eye of the needle in the apocryphal story. And we will, by distinction, arrive at a new format of reality which transcends time altogether, transcends government altogether, and transcends monotheistic religious adherence altogether. When you move as a civilization beyond religious idolatry, and I'm not talking about good Christian ethics and good Islamic ethics and good Hindu ethics. That's all well and good. I'm talking about the false light adherence, about the sheer masquerading that goes on behind religion and religiosity, the pure evil that gets perpetrated by fundamentalist Islamists and fundamentalist Christians behind the veil of their religiosity. That is a very unique kind of evil that is perpetrated horrors in this world for an awful long time. That false light adherence is going to go completely. People will be moving into the mystical traditions of their religious framework, which is entirely appropriate and very beautiful and very powerful. And at the same time, we're going to see the end of government. As you well know, govern means control, ment means mind. It's written in the word, it's mind control. Government was only ever a technology imposed by ancient popes and princes for control and containment and manipulation and the harvest of humanity. We've come through a diabolical galactic sleep cycle. It's time to transcend it altogether. The thing that transcends is pure consciousness and pure affirmation and pure alignment to the divinity that exists within the Christed light within us, within you and I. That's the stuff that issues and eviscerates the Atlantean logic and completely reformats our existence. Time is the essential piece here, because the tick-tock of the clock and the 1260 time signature and the 12-month calendric system and the Julian calendar, all of that was also a draconian imposition of false light, of luciferic logic into the mainframe of our existence. That is also about to be exposed fully and will be relinquished. We will, as a civilization, release ourselves from the bonds, the chains of a 1260 time signature, which is responsible for having dislocated humanity from nature altogether. From the circadian rhythms to the galactic cycles, it was the allowing and the permissioning of the Vatican complex to impose a completely disharmonious time signature onto us as a species that created the fracture in the natural synergy that we were born to and had naturally with this plane of existence. So I know that that's very heady stuff I've just spoken to, but it is important, because that's the answer to the question. It's to do with time, it's to do with government, it's to do with religion, monotheistic religion. Once we have relinquished false light adherence to that unholy trinity, we move into our galactic ascension cycle. We become fully cohered to the imminent immortal paradigm, because that's written into the so-called RNA DNA of every human being, is a limitless capacity to live for thousands of years in this body. Once we have remediated all of the Atlantean frequencies the depleted uranium all the way down to radar and Wi-Fi and 5G and all the shit that we're doing to ourselves still using fire in the wrong way, electrical fire. So the point is, once we've awoken to that capacitance, we will remediate using phase coherence technologies. And these are technologies that exist today. And that's my great passion, just so you know, is these remediation technologies and bio-shielding technologies that we now know, and we're putting through endless clinical studies and trials in Switzerland, and we know that we can remediate alcoholism, demonic possession, 5G, 4G, 3G, all of the mutant frequencies that are mutating the human biosphere and the planetary ecosphere. Once we have remediated fully the mutant frequencies and reharmonize and rebalance them, we create a plasma bubble around this plane of existence, and we are no longer subjected to draconian, reptilian, off-world intelligences, sub-dimensional, hyper-dimensional influences. We move into our own coherence with our divinity. And it's the human being, Homo sapiens sapiens, capacity to engage the highest aspect of divinity in this quadrant of the universe. No question about that. There is no question about that. We are the highest authority once we move into alignment with that innate divinity. So that's our great challenge right now, not to fall victim to this corona COVID bullshit. I can take you back to 1919, 100 years ago, exactly 100 years ago, when we were looking at Spanish flu, and we had Victorian people going around with their little black bustles and parasols, getting into hackney carriages, wearing masks, everyone masked up. That happened for months as well at that time. This is not a new game. This is an old game. This is a Babylonian game. This is divide and conquer. This is an audit. This is the invisible mastery trying to conduct an audit to see how many human beings will mask themselves against reason. So shame on everyone who does that, because you, the creature who was acquiescing into obedience and obeying false light, luciferic false light. Everyone who chooses to wear a mask is choosing to mask themselves against spirit, against conscience, against consciousness, and against their own divine flame. That's the audit that's taking place. So for people like me, and I'm assuming like you, to be able to then look out of the window and go, okay, that gives me a pretty good take on where we're at as a species, it's a very valuable audit. But it's not the point. The point is that the artists, the creators amongst us, those of us who've already tapped into the empathic waveform of who we are as a species, those of us who've already begun the process of actualizing our consciousness and of embracing the entire planet and taking some level of responsibility for the entire family of humanity, those of us, there are sufficient numbers of those of us already actualized in the world that this detox will leave as quickly as it came, and we'll find ourselves propelled into a higher state of spiritual evolution than we ever imagined possible. It's all good. All of it.
Mm, it's all good. I love that. I was told once, nearly 30 years ago, at a spiritual workshop that I attended, that the future of healing would always be around frequency and sound and vibration and light. I think you've just pretty much summed that up, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that and some of the work that you're doing, as you just mentioned, some of the tests that you're doing. Explain that to a layperson.
I'll bring it down to street level and talk about 5G, because that's something which most people, even stupid people, are becoming somewhat cognizant and aware of the 5G narrative. It's a big one. It's an important one because it is weaponized frequencies. It is an attempt by a globalist cabal to create a shroud or a blanket of control over the earth and to be able to surveil everyone and everything all at the same time. It's really the kind of false quantum reality. It's a luciferic quantum reality that these deviants are trying to bring about using 5G. I don't have the time to go into the science here, but I would advise people to watch the film that's got me into an awful lot of trouble that I made last year, which is 5G Apocalypse, the extinction event that's freely available where it's not been deplatformed. Millions and millions of people have seen it. I've recently been vilified by the BBC and mainstream media for having put out that as a kind of act of terrorism against people and trying to pollute the minds of people. The same old bullshit comes out of the mainstream. At the same time, I've also been vilified and castigated for promoting the 5G BioShield, which is a technology that we've been observing for the last 6-7 months in clinical studies and trials and having amazing results every single time. Not 95% of the time, 100% of the time. Are we aware of the threat of 5G against the human genome? Yes, we are. Who are we? We are a grouping of some of the world's leading scientists, technologists, and medical health professionals. The World Health Sovereignty Summit that I just produced with my team last weekend, anyone who wants to see that should go to reclaimyourlives.com. That's plural, reclaimyourlives.com. Robert Kennedy Jr. graciously opened the summit for us with an amazing speech, which I think is quite historic. And we had Dr. Zach Bush and Dr. Judy Mikovits and Dr. Rashid Buttar, Professor Dolores Cahill, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Mark Steele, world-leading experts, all contributing to that summit, part of which was focused on 5G, much of it focused on the vaccination program and what's going on with this medical fascism that we're seeing. But the bottom line about 5G is that it is a threat against every living organism. The short millimeter wave is something which threatens every living sentient creature on the face of the earth and every plant. It creates a capacity, which you'll see if you watch my film, for the invisible mastery to be able to dial into the isotope frequencies of anything, anywhere, where you are. It doesn't matter if you're in the Himalayas or if you're in the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, you will be seen, visible. They can dial into your DNA resonance, for God's sake. I mean, this creating a 50, 60, 70, 80,000 satellites in this dragnet, the sky net around the planet, and then having these hundreds of millions of small micro antenna systems, and then LED light bulbs in every single building also, and street light also acting as capacitors to extend this visibility. When you know how the technology works, you'll understand how this hybrid that's being created flags us all up all the time. It can literally be visible and seen in your home, on the toilet, in the bathroom, making love to your wife. It doesn't matter where you are visible once 5G rolls out globally. That's what happens. And you are trackable using facial recognition, using all these different advanced AI algorithms. Every one of us is trackable. Your credits will be turned on and off. You will be given a heart attack on the spot. Any illness can be dialed into your organism. It sounds like something out of an evil science fiction film, and that's because it is out of an evil science fiction narrative. It's real, it's happening, and all of us have been permissioning it, especially under cover of this last few months of people being sequestered at home under self-isolationing and quarantining, all of which is highly illegal and unlawful, incidentally, by your local and federal government. The point is that 5G masks, millions of them have come up all around the world during the last few months. Go out in the streets and have a look. Just here in Bali alone, it is horrendous what we've seen in the last 12, 16 weeks. Literally thousands of 5G masks going up whilst everyone's being forced to stay at home. So this is an insanity. This is a wet dream of sociopathic globalists who wish to control and contain humanity and sacrifice swathes of humanity on cue. And that's part of a Babylonian mysterium cult logic, connected to also harvesting life force and reapportioning it elsewhere. The same old story that's behind false light monotheistic religion and the cathedrals and synagogues and mosques. I've spoken to this at great length in other films and interviews. I won't go into it here. But the point being that the harvest of collective energy, prana, life force of humanity is a key thing and has been for an awful long time. 5G is a direct threat against every living sentient soul on the face of the earth. And there has never been any testing done by governments. Why are they rolling out a $10, $12, $15 trillion apparatus globally, owned again by the same old banksters and same old Illuminati families? Why are we permissioning this again? I'll tell you why. because we're addicted to the pornography of trivia, because we're addicted to Instagram and to television sets and to nonsense and to reductivity. Most humans, most of the time, are simply entrapped and entrained into their own reductive appetites. We've had our consciousness and our capacity diminished through glyphosates in the food supply, fluoride in the water supply, barium and phosphates and all sorts of toxins through the geoengineering raining down in the air. We are highly toxified beings. We are filled with poisons. And our capacity to actualize our own thinking and feeling and knowing and being is under threat. But that is precisely where the diamond is to be found in the coal. That is where the Christed pulse, the real flame of who we are, awakens. And I believe that that's happening right now all around the world. And that's why I speak with such confidence about where we're truly going, because I have removed myself completely from the false light adherence to the totems that we're seeing out there, which should indicate that we're moving into a terrifying reality where we're going to be stopped on the streets by Gestapo 2.0. We're going to be sticking swabs up our nose into our skull, doing testing like they've just started doing in parts of Australia this week, random testing in traffic where literally they walk up to your car, tell you to drop your window and stick these things up your nose and do a testing on the spot. And if you don't agree, $11,000 or straight to prison. Well, that kind of horror story, monstrosity, is the wet dream of the Luciferic globalists. I'm afraid it's happening more vividly on the streets of Canada and Australia than anywhere else in the world right now. And that's because they intend to roll those protocols out. It's not going to happen. But what is important is that people understand the threat of 5G and that rolling out, because once that is activated, it is unstoppable. There will be no means to stop it or claw back from that position. So if ever there was a time for you individually, for us collectively, to withdraw our consent, awaken, get seriously pissed off, pick up a stick, and no longer accept this tiptoe tyranny, as my friend David Icke rightly calls it. We have to end that now. That's the calling that each one of us are feeling. And I rather suspect, Pete, that that's what brings you and I together, is a very, very deep and visceral sense of urgency at the planetary level.
So much to digest. And yeah, I want to finish off with solutions for now. Individual solutions. We started off with the first step is to form a relationship with ourselves. But after hearing all of this for the last hour, it can possibly take you down a path of, shit. I thought life was pretty difficult up until now, and now it seems to be getting even worse. So how do you step somebody through this or give them some solutions for groundedness, balance, optimism, and what they can do to help the planet themselves?
Well, thanks for the question. I'm not an educator, and if I ever pretend to be one, please take me out around the back and shoot me in the head. I'm not one to educate. I hope and trust that some of what I do inspires and invokes a change, invites change, a positive change, let me say, by extension. But I'm not someone who's trained. I don't think in terms of how to educate other people. I'm very interested in unshackling the chains that bind me into a false light reality, knowing as I do that when I can and do affect change there, that it affects a greater change amongst the collective. The solutions are down to matters of conscience, as ever they were in the history of this world. And to speak in terms of conscience is to speak in very, very simplistic terms about things like right action and pure truth. And each one of us stepping into that template, which is to say, to simply move around the surface of the earth, conducting no harm or injury to other living souls in the pursuit of pure inquiry, truth. And where we can withdraw our false light adherence to a false light reality and move into a state of grace where we are enacting right action in every action that we do in this world to the best of our ability, simply bring it down to that, and conducting pure truth and inquiry of pure truth. That to me is the alchemy. That's the manual. That's the handbook. That's also the navigation tool that we need to reach the highest outcome with the least effort. The path of least resistance to the highest outcome is pure truth and right action. Always was, always will be. After all my years on the planet, that's what I've arrived at as my living philosophy, which is one sentence, one sacred breath. The path of least resistance to the highest outcome is right action and pure truth in the now. That's it. And that's the navigation system I use now. And it works. There are technologies out there that we should be paying attention to. We should be stepping away from all synthetic molecules in our lives. We should not be allowing any synthetic molecules into the mouths or the bodies of our children. As parents, we should absolutely take responsibility for that. We should look at every single product that comes off the supermarket shelves and learn up about which are poisons. Anything that has a synthetic molecule is essentially a poison. So the agrochemical products and the pharmaceutical products and 95% of the food products on the supermarket shelves are poisons, including moisturizers and shampoos and toothpaste and all the rest of it. So that would be a tremendous start to really step away from us poisoning ourselves. That would be true right action taking place on the high street in the domestic context. There are technologies out there that do remediate. There are beautiful things that one ought to study up and learn about. As I said, I am completely behind the 5G BioShield. That for me is the most important thing because it doesn't just deal with 5G. It's dealing with all mutant frequencies that are causing harm to the human technology. And for me, remediating that and creating plasma fields around us now when we're so toxified and about to be subjected to an even worse level of toxification, given the 5G rollout, I would say that taking full responsibility for our bio-shielding is very, very important. The built environment that we choose to live in, how we choose a home, where we choose to live, these are conscious decisions that need to be taken very seriously now. Obviously, to move more into the embrace of nature makes a great deal of sense. I think one of the very positive and impactful things that's going to come out of this corona COVID pantomime is going to be a repatriation of millions, hundreds of millions of people around the world from cities back to the land. I generally see that as happening. I don't think we've seen the end of this narrative. I think this so-called second wave is very, very likely. I think it's going to be an attempt to really lock us into medical fascism and forced mandatory vaccinations and microchipping using this oxidative enzyme that flares up, and the Bill Gates and other sociopaths are involved in trying to foist that into our public health administration sector. All of that stuff, I believe, is going to come at us even bigger than we've seen in the last few months. But I don't believe for a second it's going to work. I believe that the common pulse of humanity is going to throw this Leviathan off its back in the course of next year. Certainly before 2023, I believe we're going to move into the early onset of our enlightenment. And I think between 23 and 2030 is going to be an incredible cycle of the emancipation of humanity. But breakthrough technologies are a part of it. Of course, the problem we've got there, Pete, when we talk about breakthrough technologies, is that 98, 99% of those technologies that exist today cannot get to market. They can't get the UC or CE certification and compliances by the governments because they're all involved in a collusion exercise to prevent breakthrough technologies, innovations, cures, and treatments getting to the market. So again, government, the mind control technology, backed up by the bankster element and the control of money, is the technology that's preventing any of these real remediation technologies getting to market. So it's up to us, and I mean influencers like you, and to some extent me, to be able to get the voice and get the word out to people about remediation, about technology. It's what you do. It's what I do. And that's that. The beautiful thing is that people are now paying attention to alt media voices and influences and no longer paying attention to the mainstream narrative so much. So I think we're also on that beautiful fulcrum or pivot point of a reconvention with truth and with logic and with reason, which is coming again through grassroots, through alternative pundits and journalists and researchers and influencers like yourself.
Brother, this has been a wonderful conversation. I just want to tell you that I love you. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and just being you. go and have a nice walk along the beach without your mask and have a swim.
Thank you, Pete. Much love. It's been delightful. Thank you.
And I hope to meet you at Uluru later this year.
Look forward to it.
If you would like to become a qualified health coach, then the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, or IIN for short, can help you achieve your goals. I completed the health coaching course many years ago, which has been one of the catalysts for my own journey into what I now love to do, which is to help people achieve greater health through the sharing of information through my books, seminars, podcasts, TV shows, and films. I recommend IIN for anyone wishing to pursue a career in the health coaching and wellness space. IIN is a one-year course, so that if you're a full-time worker, busy parent, or wherever you are in your life, it is flexible enough so you'll be able to complete all the required curriculum. Please see the link included in the podcast show notes or my website to access the free sample class and first module of their program. This will give you a great taste of the format as well as the structure, and you can also utilize my special discount that I can offer you if you decide to sign up. Make sure you tell the admissions team that you're part of the Pete Evans Tuition Savings to claim your very substantial discount. Please visit integrativenutrition.com or email admissions@integrativenutrition.com.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.